America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
We have yet to talk about the Mets and another big win last night for them, BT. You said they had to sweep the Nats before the series. They did. Not only did they sweep them, they buried the Washington Nationals, as any good team should down the stretch here. But one thing that I found interesting from last night was Brandon Nimmo, who spoke to Steve Gelbs of SNY on the field after the game. Check out what Nimmo had to say. And he homered in the game, too, so Nimmo had a good impact. Listen to what Brandon Nimmo had to say.
Mets fans, we need you guys to fill this place up. This place needs to be rocking on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We need your help. We need everybody to get out here. We need this place full. This is playoff baseball. This is what you guys want. Let's go. Let's go, Mets.
There you go, Brandon Nimmo giving me goosebumps. And we will be out there doing our part Friday night. I cannot wait for that. Me, you, Hoff, and we got to figure out a fourth yet. Dove obviously can't make it. So we'll have our fun out there at Citi Field watching the Mets and Phillies here down the stretch, BT. But this is it. All year long, I feel like after the rough start, people have been waiting for the shoe to drop with the Mets. My hesitation is that now, just when, like, this is it. I've been waiting months for this stretch. This, to me, will really once and for all show what they are, regardless of what happens in the postseason, assuming that they get there. This stretch will show what they're truly made of. But now, where others were burying them before the 10-game West Coast trip, or, oh, this is a brutal stretch, or, now it's like, well, they have a 2-game lead on Atlanta. They're in a great spot. They're going to make the playoffs. And kind of ignoring the fact that this is going to be the stretch that will define their season, not just because of the timing of it, but more so of who they're playing.
I'm looking forward to Friday night. But I got to touch on the Nimmo thing real fast here. So I truly appreciate the WWE-style promo.
Yeah.
Quit begging. Imagine a New York athlete. And again, I respect Nimmo doing it.
He didn't beg. He was directing.
Well, he was imploring.
Yeah,
I mean, we can play the semantics game all you want. Yeah. He was basically instructing, begging, imploring, you know, whatever. Met fans to get out and support the Mets. That's pathetic.
Yeah, I don't think it's pathetic.
In this city. Not on Nimmo's part. On the fans' part.
The fact that he had to say
yes.
That? Yeah. And that
can
is
I
true.
Hear that again, Dove? And as Dove is loading that up, I also want to give the fans credit here.
Yeah.
So Monday, we talked about this with Howie Rose. We talked about this amongst ourselves. Monday, they had 21,600. Tuesday, they had 24,900. Last night, they had 34,600 or 34,700. So they basically went from 21,000 to basically 35,000. It's a nice jump there. And that is going to be a foreshadow of what awaits the rest of the regular season slate at home. That's good. And this won't be an issue the rest of the regular season or in the playoffs when they get there, and they will. But the fact that it's been an issue so far that one of your marquee players who's had, you know, not a really great season has to say this.
Mets fans, we need you guys to fill this place up. This place needs to be rocking on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We need your help. We need everybody to get out here. We need this place full. This is playoff baseball. This is what you guys want. Let's go. Let's go, Mets.
I mean, I love the Let's Go, Mets. I love what he's doing.
I think he's right.
I know he's
right.
This
is what you want. You wanted this. You wanted this team to be good. Here we are. Well, come support us, you knucklehead.
Yeah. Well, I'm not calling a knucklehead.
Oh, I know. That's what he basically was saying. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah. What, you know.
Stop with the excuses. You know, get your ass out to the ballpark.
You know what that sounds like to me? That sounds like to me, and you could pick the party, all right? So don't accuse me of being one-sided here. Pick the party, all right? You could even be a centrist, okay? But pick a... pick some type of political candidate.
Like, don't they all beg for votes? I don't pay attention to it. But
well,
don't they all
I mean, on some level, of course. Out there with a megaphone. But, but I don't mean like a popular, I don't mean like, you know, Trump or Kamala. I mean somebody who's like got no, you know, who's on a street corner with a megaphone like begging people to come to the rally because no one's there.
Yeah.
That happens in the sticks. The fact that Brandon Nimmo had to do that is really, really telling.
I don't think he had to do it.
Fact that he decided to do
it. He took it upon himself to do it. This is the final stretch here. I mean, I don't know. I mean, all I could say is this. Enough with the excuses. Like, we're going Friday night.
That's right.
long work week.
Like, yeah, you need the Yankee fan to contribute to the bottom line over at Citi Field.
Well, we don't need. We just don't want to feel left out.
I'm actually nervous, man. I'm not kidding.
No, we'll be fine. Around. It'll be fine sitting out there in section 109. Come say hi to me.
Seat row 11, seat 6. There you go.
Row 8. Come say hi to me.
Be walking in at 6:52. Exactly.
No, yeah. it'll be fun out there. Point is, I do. And even if Nimmo didn't say it, and I know what you're saying, but I don't think it was that big a deal.
It's just not a New York thing. But that's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to belabor it. It's just you shouldn't have to do it.
I like him trying to rally the troops and rally the fans. I think even if he didn't say that, it's going to be packed these days.
Oh, there's no question.
I don't know about tonight.
Well, last night had 35.
Yeah.
And he said that after the 35,000 went. So they're not like what he said.
This is a big weekend. People are excited to go.
What he said is not going to be the impetus for people going to watch the Mets from here on out. They're going no matter what Nimmo said. If he said nothing or if he said the exact opposite, don't come. I mean, I'm being facetious.
Yeah.
They're ready now. I'm just wondering why it took so long. But now, we had this discussion. I'm not going to, beat it to death here. Whatever.
Now, maybe this is the pessimistic, realistic Met fan in me. What do you think about the idea of just when people are starting to buy in? Like, if we took a poll and asked the majority of people, and just get a feel for it, whether it's people we talk to at work or whatever, or me talking to some people at
SNY. Like an informal poll. Yeah, I
got you. If we took a poll, what would you say the percentage of belief this team is going to make the playoffs is right now?
Playoffs?
Yeah, make the playoffs.
I think it's 90%.
Right. But if you were to...
If not higher, slightly higher.
Right. That's what makes me nervous.
And I'm with them. They're going in.
Yeah, but that's what makes me nervous. It's not over yet, and this is their toughest challenge. So we could say this a month ago, even when the Mets were looking good, like, I don't know, 10-game trip, and then look at this and look at that. But right now, because of recency bias, because they've been playing really well, and because of where they are in the standings, it feels like it's a foregone conclusion. It is not. It is not a foregone conclusion. I'm not waiting for the other shoe to drop. I'm also just not saying, well, they're definitely getting in. This is going to be the stretch. It was all the. I didn't care if they swept the Nationals or what happened the first time with Philadelphia. Like, this is it. This is the stretch here that is going to and always was dating back months. This is the stretch. Phillies, Braves, and then Brewers. But more even importantly, just the Phillies and the Braves, the two teams, the two premier teams in their division for years.
One thing that I don't get, and I understand that stuff because of the history and tie it in, you want to get back from 2022, this validates, and I'm with you on some levels here, but you know, when you said, and you said it even going into the National Series, they don't have to sweep the Nationals. To me, the fact that they not only swept the Nationals, but they bludgeoned them. I know one of the games was tight. You know what the aggregate score was in the three games?
What, 30?
22-2. Mets just swept them. So, I mean, if the Mets would have
lost... That's how you do it.
Exactly. A thumping, which is why, you know, listen, Alvarez is joining the party. I was hoping for, Pete to follow up.
He did have a hit. How many hits did he have last night? He had a hit.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, the Lays showing some power. You know, his home
run stroke's
coming back a little bit.
He hit the ball hard a couple of times last night, which could be more encouraging than a little flare two-run single he had the night before.
Yeah, no, I get that. But Acuna's now, two home runs.
Dude, he's a player. Acuna's a player.
Here we go.
He's
a player after two games, and Dominguez after seven or eight games where he basically, I mean, come on, a little quick with that.
I didn't say he's Mickey Mantle. I said he's a player.
But the way you said he's a player.
He is a player. You can see by looking at him. He's a player. I mean, the guy plays the game well.
Well,
right?
I'm not saying he's not, but when you say that he's a player, what exactly do you mean? Like, he's going to be a star?
I don't know that. I think he's a legit player who can be a star.
After three games of watching him play?
After one at-bat in the ninth inning in his first game against Estevez, you could tell by that at-bat that he didn't look like a rookie. He looks like a player, but, and he's gotten significantly better since then.
I like him, by the way, Sal. I'm saying eight games with Dominguez, you still wouldn't...
But there's a different story. Dominguez, before we saw Dominguez, he was better than Mickey Mantle. Then we see him for five games, and it's, oh, my God, where's the Yankeeography? Build him a statue already, retire his
eight
number.
Games.
Like, there's a big difference between that and what I'm saying about Acuna, where
Acuna.
Nobody was pumping up Acuna. We were all looking at
him. He was one of the top prospects. Just, what do you mean nobody was pumping him up?
No, this year.
Because he had a down year. His OPS was under 700.
But again, I'm consistent. I didn't look at his numbers and say one thing or another. Same thing where I didn't get carried away about Spencer Jones because of his numbers one way or another.
Yeah,
I'll judge him when
season.
I see him here. Well, but again, I'm not going to write him off. It's, look what he did last year. Look at what he did in the spring. He's going to be the greatest ever. Now he has a down year. He's a worthless a piece of garbage. Let's trade him at something. Like, that's how it was with Spencer Jones. I don't do that. I didn't get hyped about Acuna. The trade was whatever. It was fine. Get a potential piece. Let me see it when he comes up here. He's a player who any measurement or stat that people would show you based on what he did in the minors would not do it justice what he's done in the big league so far. Will it stick? Who knows? But with my own eyes, like if I've seen Vientos or Beatty, and it's like, eh.
Yeah, but you were wrong on Vientos.
Well, yeah, but he's still not an all-around baseball player.
He's the second best player on the team the whole season.
He's a good hitter. But my point is when you watch those guys when they first came up, and by the way, Vientos made major adjustments to his game. So not only was I wrong about him, the Mets were wrong about him, everybody was wrong about him, and he's still got a lot to prove. Like, good offensive player, serviceable third. Point is, though, those guys didn't jump off the charts. It's not just, a few successful games. Acuna's different. He has stood out. Even Alvarez, when he first came up last year.
He was over in 2022 with the Braves series.
Overmatched.
Well, they also put him in the worst possible. Hey, kids, base is juice. We need to go get him.
They're bringing up Acuna to replace Francisco
Lindor. Well, they're doing it out of necessity.
Okay.
They didn't have to bring up Alvarez.
Point is, Acuna, to me, I see a player.
And
a
by the way, I agree.
Yeah.
I like him. And there's two things. I don't really need to add to what you said because I don't disagree. But the two things that I see, he's got life in his bat and he's got a slow heartbeat.
Yeah.
And that's usually a good sign.
The slow heartbeat is key, especially this time of year and especially for this talent.
I like him.
For a rookie like that. Talk about the offense and get this guy going and that guy going. For the Mets, BT, their starting pitching has been un-freaking believable. Quintana last night, whether it's Tyler McGill the night before that, Sean Manaea being a legitimate ace, it is the legit reason why this team could go out there and win a World Series. Hard for me. You know, I talked about it to start the show, where while we give credit to the Yankees for accomplishing getting to the postseason, which for them is like normal, but they didn't do it last year, and it's a great achievement this year, but while I'm still not sold on them, well, if we could say that because of the rest of the landscape, then we could say the same thing for the Mets in the National League. And the Mets have, by record, been one of the best teams in baseball since June because of their starting pitching, which is remarkable. No Lindor again, so we know the offense. Maybe it could be a little inconsistent. Who knows? I know they've been pounding the Nats, but against the Phillies, who knows? But that pitching has been unreal.
And the big surprise is McGill for me. Yeah, I thought Severino would have a good season for you guys. I was really a big believer in the tipping of the pitches. That's why his ERA was like 6.5. Remember that? So I thought that was a shrewd, low-risk, potentially high-return move by Stearns. I liked it. Obviously, the Manaea one was interesting. He got the two-year deal. Most of the other guys, Bader, Seve, a few others, Wendell got one-year deals. He's obviously gone. But I think that Stearns showed really good instincts. And, you know, what I think is interesting now, and you want to enjoy the season, but just a little bit of a bigger picture for the Mets moving forward. Now you look at Stearns and this acumen that he obviously has, having to build teams in a resourceful manner in Milwaukee, and now you start to eventually mesh that with Cohen's money.
One thing, though, like Tyler McGill and David Peterson.
Well, Peterson's been filthy for a while.
But that's what I'm saying. But they've been here for years.
Yeah, I know.
And they've never pitched like this consistently, especially in recent years. When they first came up, you know, McGill, there was a point where I was like, wow, maybe this guy could be a stud in the rotation.
Didn't he start opening day a couple of years ago?
In 2022, DeGrom was down. I think it was DeGrom that year. Yeah, so that year, it's like, wow, maybe he could be something. Then he got hurt, and then it was really never the same. Peterson was competitive maybe the 2020 year for the first time, I think. I forget the exact seasons, but you know, there was a point where I was like, wow, this guy could be competitive, and he was okay, but then never lived up to it. Now, those guys weren't penciled in to be big-time contributors this year, but they have been. But almost to a man, think about this. The Mets didn't get Yamamoto. They traded Verlander and Scherzer a year ago. They let DeGrom go. Their ace, Kodai Senga, went down before the season started, and their pitching has still been one of the best rotations in the sport and certainly anything better than they've had in years. It's remarkable.
I was dead wrong. I thought particularly wrong. I thought the pitching was going to be really bad.
And also, to further that point, the one thing that we didn't believe would be sustainable was the Mets starting pitching. And not only has it been sustainable, it's gotten better when I'm talking about the All-Star break, where I was like, go get Blake Snell. And by the way, I would have still loved to have had Blake Snell in there, but you don't need Blake Snell if you got Sean Manaea pitching like a legit ace, which he's been doing.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, their starting pitching has been tops in the league. Like, it's been that good. As Nimmo said last night, one of the other things, our pitching has been keeping us in it, giving the offense enough time to get going. That's been the formula. Piecing it together with the bullpen, knowing that you have a good closer in Edwin Diaz, but finding out a way to get the other outs, timely hitting, you know, sometimes, you know, it was breaking a game open late in these games, fine, but the starters keeping them in these games right out of the gate, it's
giving them a
huge
chance. I feel like almost, not these last couple of games where they put out 20 runs, I feel like almost every game it seemed like a two-week stretch. It probably wasn't, but it felt like that. I'm watching the Mets every night. They have no runs in the fifth inning.
Right.
Like almost every night.
Right. And
but it's 0-0.
Right.
But they're down 1-0.
And it's, I think, human nature to look at it and say, God, can these guys just hit? Where are the runs?
Yeah.
But you almost overlook the fact that the other team doesn't have any runs either. You expect that. You want that to be the case. You're not focused on that. But, man, this Mets starting rotation has, it just goes to show you that on paper for years, Scherzer, and you're paying $45 million or $43 million or whatever to get Scherzer and Verlander in here. You wanted to pay DeGrom. Some people want to do it. DeGrom, Scherzer, Verlander. Or even the 2022 team with Scherzer, DeGrom, Bassett. Think about, and that team obviously not collapsed, but they didn't win the division. This team starting has been way better than that. And I believe it's going to be there. There's 11 games to go. I mean, we're here.
Even
without Senga.
Just like we say about Pete, I mean, hey, you know, enjoy the party. Well, the season's basically written itself.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be a colossal implosion, which, by
it's
the
happened
way,
before. Happened, yeah, right. Before.
It's not going to happen this year. I'm trying to find something on Peterson here, and I don't know the answer. I'm not finding it. I want to see if he's changed pitch patterns. Like, you know, what is he doing differently this year? He's been, like, I watch him pitch, and McGill's been good too. You're right. I watch Peterson pitch, and I think he's been dominant most of the times I watch him. And I wonder if he's just, if he's more reliant on a certain pitch. I'll find this out. I'm on Fangraphs. It's not popping up right now where I'm just overlooking it. But, you know, has he added a new pitch? I don't think he has. Is his velo up? Has he gotten away from a pitch and thrown another pitch more? Because there's been, I mean, an appreciable jump in his performance.
Alvaro is in Queens. What's up, Alvaro?
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Hello? All right, Alvaro, not there. Kyle is in West Orange, New Jersey. What's up, Kyle?
What's up, guys? This is Kyle from West Orange, bald and sexy. Love the show. Listen, the guy's got to go to the Hall of Fame, Eli. First round, I'm putting him in the first round. Why? Because two-time Super Bowl MVP. He's in company with Montana, Terry Bradshaw, and who else? And there's another guy. I can't name the fourth one.
Well, Brady, I'm assuming.
And Brady, okay, and maybe Brady. And he beat one of the best teams in NFL history. He beat Belichick twice. He beat Tom Brady twice. An undefeated team at that. Come on. He's got to go into the Hall of Fame just on that alone. And I'm saying
disagree. Yeah, again, it's almost immaterial to Sal's point earlier. You get in or you don't. But what you meant? You mentioned Bradshaw. You throw out some big-time
Montana,
names.
Montana, he said.
All right.
He was saying two-time Super Bowl MVPs, I think.
Right. And who's fourth on the list? And if you're starting a franchise, who are you taking? Eli's four out of four.
Yeah.
Like, he's not even in the same neighborhood as those guys. Stop.
By the way, just to be clear, it is twofold. Like, my initial thought was it shouldn't be, well, he's a Hall of Famer, but he's not a first ballot. It should either be you're a Hall of Famer or you aren't. Now, the second part of that is whether he gets in this year or next year really doesn't matter. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. I would assume that that's the way it's going to go. But, like, you shouldn't, I don't feel like there should be a penalty. You're either a Hall of Famer or you're not. It shouldn't be, oh, well, it's the first ballot. You're not good enough to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
That's stupid. Like, it's the Hall of Fame, whether it's baseball. I felt the same way with baseball. Whatever. Football doesn't matter. You either watch the player and you think he's a Hall of Famer, or you watch the player and you think he's not a Hall of Famer. And you're entitled to your opinion. That's what makes sports talk fun. We all have an opinion. Just give it and we'll have some fun with it. Call up with your take and we'll have some fun debating it or agreeing with it, whatever. So I am of the belief that Eli Manning's a Hall of Famer. The first ballot stuff, like, to me, that's, it should be a given. If you believe somebody's a Hall of Famer and they're eligible, they should be a Hall of Famer. What will change from today or the first ballot to the second ballot as it pertains to people, how they view Eli Manning as a Hall of Famer?
Nothing. Statistically, he will not take another snap. Others will emerge and, well, others will retire. Like, eventually Aaron Rodgers will retire and, you know, I mean, it's not even close. I know, you know, Rodgers has one, Eli has two. You know, eventually Mahomes will retire, though Eli will be in the Hall of Fame before Pat does. Brady just retired, so
Matt
he'll be
Ryan
just
retired. He'll be a Hall of Famer.
Listen, I think Matt Ryan was a better player.
No, me too. Actually, we just went out in the newsroom. Zach Gelb's asking me, and a couple guys in the newsroom were asking, hey, who would you rather have, Ryan or Eli? I said, Matt Ryan.
Me too.
Now, I'd rather have, I mean, I guess Eli's resume because he won the two Super Bowls, but you're asking me which player I'd prefer to have? It's Matt Ryan. He was a better player.
So you're kind of agreeing with me. But I also agree in a weird, convoluted way.
No, it's not even, like, but I think they're both Hall of Famers for different reasons. Matt Ryan was a better quarterback statistically throughout the course of his career, won an MVP award, should have, but didn't win a Super Bowl, but whatever, he didn't, so you can't say should have. Mm-hmm. But he was just a better, he won an MVP. It's different. Eli gets in because he won two Super Bowls, but it's not just like a, yeah, but he won two Super Bowls. This is what he did to get in. Just like Matt Ryan, what he did to get in was win an MVP and be consistent throughout the course of his career at a high level.
Well, the bottom line is this. When you put on the placard, whether it's Eli or, you know, Mark Sanchez for the Jets or whomever else, you put the name on, you give it to the NFL, and you draft somebody. You're a quarterback. You're drafting that quarterback with the thought, get me a championship.
Yeah.
And Eli brought you two.
Right.
So that's where the conversation ends. That's why he's a Hall of Famer.
We agree he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I just don't think he deserves to be in first ballot.
Right, but that's where I'm confused. Is that a philosophy you carry to baseball as well?
It's kind of. It's really a philosophy that I wish I didn't have to tap into.
Because they screwed up the Hall of Famer.
But based on the way it's gone, it's a conversation that I enjoy engaging in because I think it's relevant.
Right, but I'm not talking about Harold Baines versus Willie Mays.
We're talking
about Eli Manning. Like, you would say, I would assume, and I'll get your opinion here in a second, is Harold Baines a Hall of Famer?
No.
Okay, me neither. Like, I looked at it. I did the same thing with Scott Rowland. It's not just Harold Bain. Like, I look at those guys and don't think they're a Hall of Famer.
I'm with you.
So if they didn't get in, then maybe we wouldn't have to have the first ballot nonsense.
Yeah, I think that's really where we're born from.
But you agree Eli is a Hall of Famer.
Of course he's going to get in the Hall of Fame, and he should.
Then why do we have to...
Because I admit I'm very particular. Like, when people, even callers, like... I'm very protective of the word great.
Yeah.
I think great's vastly overrated. Oh, hey, great game, or this is a great player. I mean, great is rarefied territory. So I try not to use that too often or recklessly pertaining to sports. I'm just very protective of, like, the most sacred names in sports. And now Manning isn't obviously a sacred name here. Right. It's a sacred name in football, given the entire lineage there. But, I mean, if somebody asked me, I mean, just because I'm on the air in New York, I'm not just going to try to placate people. He just wasn't a superstar. That's it. And I hate talking about this.
I know, but I guess I know because you're putting down Eli and you really don't want to do that.
I'm trying to contextualize. I'm saying Hall of Famer, no doubt. But then when you ask me the next question, I'm going to give you an honest answer.
Right, but then for me, I guess it would make more sense, at least in the way that I view it, as if you said he's not a superstar. Would you be like, yeah, sure, I understand that, and I don't think he should be a Hall of Famer.
I hear you, but I can't say that because two is two. If he had one, my answer might be different.
BT and Sal on the Fan. A Yankee note that I want to get to from last night. Okay. Yankees playing this afternoon. We'll do that when we come back.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on the Fan.
And, of course, today's Call of the Day. I love Call of the Day, BT. It is fun. I like that we moved it now to 140. And Call of the Day is brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey. And by Edison Heating and Cooling. I love that. Mike is the best at Edison Heating and Cooling. New Jersey's heating experts. Ted is in Mount Laurel, New Jersey. What's up, Teddy?
Hey, bud.
I'm all fired up for today, going to the game. Sal, I won that bet last year with you with the Jet-Giant game, so I want to see if you can redeem yourself tonight, come to my tailgate.
If I get there in time, my challenge is that I'm leaving SNY at 6:30.
You driving or taking the train out there?
I'm going to drive. I'll drive. I drive to the PATH station, take the PATH station into work.
Yep.
So now I have to do that reverse. So I get the train at get my car at Harrison and drive right from there.
Into the parking lot?
Yeah, I got to
pass. What time are you done with? That's going to be hell.
No, it shouldn't be. It should be a half hour, I would think, from where Harrison is.
Dude.
And I'll get there at 7 o'clock.
Wait, so you're off the air at 6 at SNY?
6:30.
You're off the air at 6:30?
I will get to my car at Harrison at 7, and it should be a half hour, maybe.
Dude, it's never a half hour going into that stadium. The traffic?
You know, from Harrison?
You're better off taking the path and then just taking the train to the stadium.
No way. Sal, but then how do I get out of there?
You and I are going to make another bet.
Yeah.
You're not going to get out of your car until...
Okay, let me see something here. Harrison Path to MetLife. Dude, it's 8.7 miles. It says 15 minutes with no
neglecting
traffic. You don't think it's going to take an hour, Max?
I think it's going to take an hour. 9 miles going into a Jet or a Giant game.
Yeah.
You may as well be going to Long Island.
I hope that's not the case. Let me see the parking bay. You know the parking situation?
You're not going to tailgate, dude.
I got to admit, that kind of ruined my mood for the day.
And it's been a couple of hours you had to bear that cross
as
well.
Stressing.
It didn't just happen.
I'm making calls and texts and finding out, am I really screwed here?
Oh, yep. God. I'm just gonna have to, what was the consensus?
I'm sticking with my plan.
I'm saying, but the consensus was you're screwed.
Well, the guy I'm going with, Brian Myers, is like, hey, you know what? It's fine. I'm like, all right, good. At least I don't have the pressure from him to be like, hey, dude, what are we doing? You told me. Because he doesn't know. He's just meeting me in the city and then coming with. So
yeah, he's just a mooch. I'm like, he's just mooching tickets.
I'm like, we got to get on the PATH train. We got to get to my car, and then I'll drive. We do have the parking pass. Actually, Rajveer, who hooked me up with the tickets, maybe we'll go to a game with him, too, because he's like, hey, actually, he told me to invite Beningo. He said, let Joe know that he's got tickets for him, which I have not done yet. But I was like, hey, what do you got going on with that?
I don't know if I'd want to watch a game with Joe. Yeah. I would love to, and then I don't know if I'd enjoy it, because he'd be negative.
Rajveer said you'll be in the lot by 7:45.
Yeah.
Likely in your seats around game time.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you mean? He's got season tickets. He knows, too.
Where's he coming from?
He also, I don't know.
I'm assuming I guarantee it's not where you're coming from.
Well, but I told him. Everybody knows where I'm coming from. He also said the other option, in case the parking is bad, just park at the American Dream Mall and then walk 8 minutes. Which I've done that before.
I've done that, too. I've done that for tailgates.
I'm not opposed to that.
That's not terrible.
Yeah.
That's not terrible.
Now, is that going to save me time? I'll do it if it's going to save me time as opposed to getting to the lot.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's going to save you as much as you think. It's definitely going to probably shave off 30, 40, 50 minutes.
Parking at the American Mall will shave me 40 minutes?
Yeah.
As opposed to
at
40 minutes?
This sounds like he just came in from North Dakota.
I might as well. I came in from Long Island. I'm new to Jersey. I don't understand this. When I used to go to games at Giant Stadium.
Yeah.
Now, my thing is when I go to games, especially when I was younger, I would leave early all the time.
Of course, me too.
All right, but now I'm thinking I'm 8 miles. Even I'm factoring in traffic. With no traffic, it should take 15 minutes. Obviously, there's going to be traffic. Bad traffic, all right, half hour, 40 minutes, maybe an hour at worst.
All right, so let's do this. Because you heard in the call of the day, you heard me say, let's make a bet. What time? You're pretty confident.
Yeah.
What time do you think you're walking in?
I will be
you
there.
You set the over-under, I'll set the terms
I will be
of the
there
bet.
By opening kick. 8:15, I'll be in my seat.
In your seat.
Before opening kick.
Okay. If you're hearing this, right? 8:15. So we have the parameter. 8:15.
I'll have to take a picture of myself with the clock in the
background. I need a picture with a timestamp in the seat by 8:15. And I will take a picture
either way when I first get to the seat with the clock in the background.
And if that's the case, then you win. Now we just have to determine what you win.
Yeah. What I win is getting to the game on time. I mean, that's all that I'm asking for at this point. I'm not asking for a lot. I don't need
anything. Yeah, but I'm also making another bet here, which when you're not there by 8:15, I'm going to win something from you. So
what do you want?
I don't know. We'll flush it out now.
We still got to do those over-unders. I know you've avoided
it. I'm going to lose that one.
You've avoided it this week, and I know why. I know your game,
bro. Do you notice how I punted it?
I
punted it.
Yeah, well, I know why.
We can't do it this day. We got that. We got the Jets. We got this.
So I didn't fit in yesterday.
Almost done. Football Friday tomorrow. Can't do it tomorrow.
Well, guess what? We'll get to it next week. I'll make sure of it.
I'm going to lose.
I honestly don't even know where we're at with it.
I think you're going to win.
I might.
You're going to win.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to
revisiting
it.
You're going to win.
Now, real quick, Yankees, something that happened last night bothered me. Jazz Chisholm was on Instagram Live during the celebration, which, look, I guess it's just the way of the world now. These young kids, they get in the locker room. They want to celebrate. They want to go Instagram Live.
Shout
it is
sharp.
What it is. So check out the – yeah, exactly. Shout out sharp. Check out Jazz from last night.
Oh, yeah. We do have a day game tomorrow. Guess what? I could care less about that. I wake up and I'm gonna play ball tomorrow.
Now, to be fair, first of all, it was funny. I don't know if I like the fact, and it's not just Jazz. Other players were doing, I think, as well. I didn't see it, but
I saw
that
IG.
One. I cannot believe he is in the lineup. He's batting cleanup. Also, it's a regular lineup. How many times have you seen that after a champagne celly? Glaber, Soto, Judge, Jazz, Stanton back in there, Dominguez, Rizzo, Trevino, and Volpe.
It's called focus.
I mean, that is after that party last night, champagne celebration, afternoon game as well.
Uh-huh. That's a little surprising that they didn't give some of the other players a little more time here. So,
any issue with Jazz in his comments?
No. What do you think? I'm not you. I'm not the fun police, dude. I have fun.
I mean, why are you going to go on Instagram? You could have fun with your teammates.
Well,
I'm not saying don't celebrate last night with your teammates.
Yeah.
I'm saying don't go to Instagram Live.
Well, but you're saying that
and then I could care less about that bleep about the game?
You're saying that as an older adult like me. Part of the way these kids have fun is by going on Instagram Live with their friends.
I guess that is true.
I wouldn't do it.
Just not my way of fun.
By the way, I'm with you, too. I'm old school with that. But remember when that first started? Antonio Brown put on Facebook Live in the Steelers locker
room. Yeah, Tomlin got on him, didn't he?
I love Mike Tomlin. He was all over him. Yes, that's where it really started.
Tomlin got in that you know, Tomlin got on him. What word do you like to say there? Tomlin got in his. You got on. Oh, okay. Got on his rear end for that one.
before I forget about the Jets, too, because I know that, you know, maybe if you're not as savvy, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, help me out. Any tips?
No, I don't mean you. I mean, I know you. But first of all, you're going to be there.
Yeah, would have been good weeks ago.
For those watching on TV, it's on Prime, but it's locally on Fox 5.
Okay.
Just for those, because I know a couple people were confused this morning on the morning show. You probably resolved it by now. Fox 5, so 505 on Verizon for me, whatever.
Huge night. Mets taking on the Phillies.
Yep, don't
care.
Important
stretch. Jets, Pats.
30-13 Jets.
It better be.
Stomp job.
And we'll see you tomorrow.
And I'll hopefully see you at about 9:26 when you send me the stamp picture and you're in the stadium.
All right, thanks to Dove.
Have fun, man.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
Let's
thanks
go,
to
Jets.
Dove. Thanks to Hop. Wish me luck. I'm going to need it. Thanks to everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.